Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
Now, while the little waxy things are being distributed, I'll make a comment about how much, without going into detail, about how much significant Unitarian and Universalist history has happened in New Jersey. But because of Massachusetts centricity, we don't hear much about it. But there is a lot, including female ministers before they were common, and racially mixed congregations at a time when Unitarianism and Universalism were almost entirely white, and things like that. And places in New Jersey being places of refuge for suffrage leaders and peace leaders, as they tried to also have family lives while doing their hard work in the world. But maybe later on in this year we'll hear some of that. Today, it's about the Flower Festival or Flower Communion, which is a uniquely Unitarian custom, now a Unitarian Universalist custom. And a lot of this story involves New Jersey. For a Sunday, and I'll start with the Sunday of June 12th, 1921. That seems to have been exactly 95 years ago. And in a matter of weeks, the Reverend Norbert Fabian Chapek and his wife, Maya V. Chapek, would leave their last home in the United States, and their home church, the First Unitarian Church of Essex County, New Jersey, to return to their homeland to organize Unitarianism in Czechoslovakia. They were going home to Prague, the capital of the newly unified Czechoslovakia, to organize a liberal religious movement in the country where they had both been born, though some years apart. And Dr. Chapek had, with the help of the Reverend Walter Reed Hunt, the minister of the Unitarian Church, obtained the support of the American Unitarian Association for a dream he had, in truth, been nurturing for at least 10 years. And 10 years earlier had made an approach to the American Unitarians and been brushed off. This time, he was going to go home with or without the support of American Unitarians. But he and his family had, in the meantime, found a church in New Jersey that supported them, and that discovery had made the difference. With Reverend Hunt's help, there was financial support for the Chapek's mission, their Unitarian mission to Czechoslovakia. Not just from the American Unitarians, but from the British Unitarian Association as well. It seems that Dr. Hunt, being from Massachusetts, was very close to the president of the American Unitarian Association, Samuel Eliot, and was able to pressure him to give a different response than he had initially given to Chapek and Tomas Masaryk, who would be the first president of Czechoslovakia, when they had approached him 10 years earlier. Now, on that Sunday, Chapek gave a farewell address to the congregation that had warmly welcomed him and his family, and to the members, his fellow members of the church, he said, and I'm only quoting in part here, "When coming to East Orange, I was chiefly concerned about finding a good Sunday school for our children. The natural solution, of course, was to find the nearest Unitarian church. But I had some prejudice. It dated from the time 10 years ago when, together with Professor Masaryk, I tried to interest the American Unitarians for service in Czechoslovakia. I presume that the Unitarians here are all reason but too little heart." So I came and expected to find clear heads, free from superstition, and be satisfied. I thank you for the way you have disappointed me. For I found not only clear heads, but warm hearts too. He goes on, I liked the deep and inspiring sermons of Mr. Hunt. I enjoyed the warm and sweet music of Mr. Decker. I loved to join in the buoyant and light-winged singing of the congregation. And especially, I was enthusiastic about my kiddies, what they told about their Sunday school and their teachers. It is certainly the best Sunday school I ever saw. But above all, I liked what is so difficult to describe, what is more than a friendly smile, more than a kind word of greeting. It is the personal touch of a soul that has a vision. It is the heart of religion in the heart of this congregation. Well, the Reverend Walter Reed Hunt preached a sermon that morning, and his topic, as announced in the church bulletin, was the same as mine today, the heart of religion. And as Chopik implied, speaking at that service that Sunday morning 95 years ago, the heart of religion was to be found in the heart of the congregation. Not an abstract idea, not a doctrine, but in the heart of the congregation. Is also to be found, I believe, in this congregation, this society. Something the members of this congregation treasure that those words could describe. The personal touch of a soul that has a vision. The heart of religion in the heart of this congregation. Now, I could go on a long time and not touch upon everything that is contained in that one sentence. I just want to say a little bit in just a few minutes. For the heart of religion is not really that difficult. It is just that we clutter it up with so much else. And as much as I love this Unitarian Universalist movement of ours, as much as I've devoted my life to its message and to its growth as a movement, I have to say that too few congregations succeed at getting at the heart of religion. Now, 95 years ago in New Jersey, the Reverend Mr. Hunt also preached the war against war. And he wrote in the bulletin, in union with 100,000 churches of the United States, we shall express desire that means may be provided to render war less probable in the future than it has been in the past. Social justice work is nothing new. Peace work is nothing new. The Great War, as it was then called, what now we call the First World War, had been over only a short time. And that war had contributed to the independence of that part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, which was now known as Czechoslovakia, the newly shaped nation to which the Chopeks would return. But that war had been the most deadly, bloody, cruel, and widespread war than even those who still alive who had lived through the Civil War and the Crimean War had known. There was a great desire for peace, for the success of something like the League of Nations that would be formed by the victorious Allies. There was a vision of peace. And that was also part of religion. The concern, however, was personal as well as global. And on the front page of that same church bulletin, you could read these words. This church extends a cordial welcome to you to attend its services, and if you have no other such affiliation, to make it your church home. It stands here as an opportunity for the development of the religious life and service of mankind. Those to whom this opportunity makes an appeal are welcomed to its membership. Now, I like to think that had the Chopeks lived in Bergen County rather than Essex County, either the Ridgewood or the Hackensack Church would have been as welcoming as the people in the Orange Church were. And it was a welcome. I remind you that Chapek had not felt that welcome when he first approached the American Unitarian Association a decade earlier. At that time, he had the support and encouragement of Tomas Masaryk, a leading Czech, who had married an American Unitarian in Brooklyn, and who would become the first president of the United Czechoslovakia. Masaryk and Čapek were friends and had envisioned a Unitarian mission to their homeland even before they were living here. Their homeland, which was then, after the First World War, emerging from political domination by the Austro-Hungarian Empire and religious domination by Roman Catholic and Orthodox Christianity. Now, it was in a quest for a way to express through ritual the heart of religion as he understood it that Čapek devised the flower festival, as he called it, that was first presented in Prague in June 1923. We now call it the Flower Communion, and it is now practiced in Unitarian and Universalist congregations around the world. And after the first one, Čapek wrote a letter as a report to Samuel Atkins Elliott, the president of the American Unitarian Association, on which he depended in part for the financial support of the mission. He wrote a report about that first flower communion, and these are his words. "We are trying to find new expressions of our religious life very slowly and carefully. Whereas the dedication of a child, weddings and burials were kept rather close to the general Unitarian custom, we have made a new experiment in symbolizing our liberty and brotherhood in a service which is so powerful and impressive that I have never experienced anything like it. The most dry and rationalistic members were moved, and many an eye brightened through tears. On that very Sunday, it was the last before holidays, everyone was supposed to bring a flower. In the middle of the big hall was a suitable table with a big vase where everybody put his flower, some lady members helping to do it very nicely." Okay, it was 1923. And he goes on, "The sight of so many beautiful flowers was wonderful, and more of them were coming, solemnly yet joyfully, with full understanding of the meaning. In my sermon, I put emphasis upon the individual character of each member flower, on our liberty as a foundation of our fellowship. Then I emphasized our common cause, our belonging together as one spiritual community, as brethren. And when they go home, that each is to take one flower just as it comes, without making any distinction where it came from and who it represents, to confess that we accept one another as brothers and sisters without regard to race, class, or other distinction, acknowledging everybody as our friend who is human and wants to do good." So following New England Unitarian tradition, the Prague Church suspended formal services during the summer. The Flower Communion was to be held at the last formal service in June. It was to be a ritual that emphasized both the individual freedom by which the members joined themselves to what he was then calling the Free Religious Fellowship, and the inclusiveness of the fellowship itself. And why a flower? Why not something else? Years later, Maya Čapek wrote, when asked that question, "Because in the name of a flower or flowers, no wars were waged, as was the case with the cross or chalice." Now, at the time of the first flower communion, the flaming chalice was not yet in use as a Unitarian or Universalist symbol. For the Čapeks, the chalice was associated with the divine right of kings and the Crusades. So they built up that congregation, eventually had 5,000 members. It was the largest Unitarian church in the world. following the Munich Pact in 1938, with impending Nazi occupation, Maya, who had by now been ordained a minister by the congregation in Prague, prepared to go to the United States to rally support to protect Czechoslovakia from Nazi occupation and to raise funds for the Joint Unitarian Quaker Refugee Relief. That was the beginning of the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. She left in February 1939, just weeks ahead of the Nazi occupation, and was not to return until after the war's end. And once she left, she was never to see her husband again. On March 28, 1941, Zora Chopek, who at age 7 come to a Unitarian Sunday school in New Jersey and was now a working adult, was arrested along with her father by the Gestapo. Their crime? Listening to foreign news broadcasts on a shortwave radio. They were also charged with treason. Although both were cleared of the charge of treason, they were sentenced to short terms for the crime of listening to foreign news broadcasts. Zora was released at the end of her term, but her father was not. He was sent to the concentration camp at Dachau and was executed on October 12, 1942. Norbert Chopek was a martyr for his nation's freedom and also a martyr for spiritual freedom, whatever path each might choose. He was utterly committed to what he called brotherhood, what we would today call solidarity. And those words that he wrote to Eliot still echo in my mind. And when they go home, each is to take one flower just as it comes, without making any distinction where it came from and who it represents, to confess that we accept each other as brothers and sisters without regard to race, class, or other distinction. And this is one way to express the heart of religion. The acceptance of ourselves and others and of each other is one of our Unitarian Universalist principles, and it was at the heart of Chopek's notion of what religion was. It is what Norbert and Maya Chopek experienced in that, along with their children in New Jersey 96 years ago. Another expression is the desire for peace, which, having lived through the Second World War and being connected with countries on both sides of that war, both felt the very great pain of that war. And so, as Maya Chopek was to write in 1961, in the name of a flower or flowers, no wars were waged. And also at the heart of religion is the personal touch. Brotherhood and solidarity are not abstractions. This is a way of living. The Chopeks found not only clear heads, but warm hearts too. The personal touch of a soul that has a vision. And also a vision of a world where there are peace, freedom, and justice for all. Where each individual is accepted, respected, and loved. And where each person, like each of these flowers, is precious. Regardless of size, shape, color, origin, where each is known and loved face to face. This is the heart of religion. May you know it here in this society. Blessed be. Amen.